Galatians 5:22 again, as we continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. This is the eighth of nine messages, so next week we'll conclude this series. And I trust it's been helpful to you to this is one of those series where you slow down and you just really focus on word by word by word. We're looking at each of those nine fruits or nine virtues that are listed here that describe the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll just read the verses again, hopefully just about have them memorized by now. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We're going to be focused tonight on the fruit of meekness, as it is in our text, meekness. Now, I recently touched on this topic in our One Another series, and I mentioned there in that series that many of the modern translations have rendered this word gentleness, which is fine. It certainly encompasses the idea of gentleness, but it kind of goes beyond that. James Montgomery Boyce says, gentleness is a soft and loving behavior, the opposite of awkwardness or rudeness. In this sense, the Christian is also to be meek. He is to be loving, well-mannered, polite, balanced, and well-behaved. He is to be God's gentleman or gentlewoman. And so certainly that idea is present in this word, but the Greek word really goes somewhat beyond that. And I think the English word meekness really better catches the idea of the original meaning. As I mentioned before, the word meekness originally pertained to the domestication of wild animals. And as you train that wild animal, the strength of that animal is channeled for the master's purposes. And so you can think of meekness as taming the lion within. That's not a bad way to think of it. And here's the thing, the bigger one's ego, the bigger the lion. And also, the more authority one has, the bigger the lion, and the harder it is to tame that lion. Now, you may have heard it put this way, meekness is not weakness, which is true. It is rather strength under control. That's a good way to think about it. Maybe a simple way, but a good way to think about meekness. But we might also associate some other terms with meekness. I would say it this way, the spirit of meekness is humility. So you need humility. The manner of meekness is gentleness. So there's the idea of gentleness. The conduct of meekness is congeniality. You know, so that's the idea of being well-mannered and polite. And the motive of meekness is love. So really, I would kind of bundle all of that together in this idea of meekness. And we also saw fairly recently that meekness is associated with forbearance. And we looked at Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, for example. If you want to turn over to there, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So we're talking about walking worthy of our calling, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So meekness is associated with forbearance. It's certainly something that's going to contribute to unity in the body. So meekness is something very, very good. It's a virtue. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Well, the opposite of meekness is assertiveness. And that's something to be aware of because our entire culture really wants to train people to be assertive. And we need to understand that that's really the opposite of meekness. We also realize that meekness is put to the test when we encounter difficult people. And we're tempted at those times to assert ourselves. It may be a matter of exploiting our superior strength. That's how bullies operate. Or authority, or rhetorical skills. So we may assert ourselves instead of displaying meekness. But if we assert ourselves and run roughshod over others, we lack meekness. If, however, we restrain ourselves and act in humility and gentleness on those occasions, that's meekness. But meekness can also be put to the test when we face difficult circumstances. If our attitude is, I don't deserve this, and we react in indignation and anger to our circumstances, we lack meekness. If, however, we tame the lion and keep our cool and respond in humility to the trials that we're going through, that's meekness. Now, when you think about meekness, are there certain people in the Bible that you think of? Maybe you're aware of this. There are two people in the Bible that are mentioned as being meek. And the first one is Moses. Moses, the leader, and Jesus is the other one, Jesus the Lord. In Numbers 12:3 it says, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's quite a statement. I mean, how would you like that to be said about you? That is an accolade from the Lord. I'd like to quote from the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery about Moses. It says, If we examine the life of Moses, we find good evidence that meekness is not weakness, but strength under control. There is no more heroic and forceful character in the Old Testament than Moses. Well, that might be able to be debated, but he is up there. He is fearless in exercising leadership against unbearable intransigence among his followers. He stands up to Pharaoh. He defends his right to lead when his authority is challenged. He is the most visible and powerful figure in the traveling nation of Israel. Yet he does all of this in the strength of God, and he himself makes no presumption to be self-reliant, nor does he use his position as leader for self-aggrandizement. End quote. And so I think that's a fair assessment of the man Moses. You know, you think about this man of high stature. He was the leader. He was God's chosen leader of the whole nation, you know, of God's people, millions. And yet he was, as God described him, very meek, very meek. So we have Moses as an example. Moses, the leader, was very meek. And then, of course, we have the Lord Jesus. If you want to turn over to Matthew 11, verse 28, familiar passage, but it's here that we see the Lord declare that he is meek. Matthew 11, verse 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is declaring here that he is meek. This is in no way boasting. It's just stating the fact that here he is, the Lord, the Son of God. And yet think about how he interacted with people. Think about the compassion that he showed toward people. Think about the fact that he would humble himself to hang around with sinners and even very sinful people. Sinners and tax collectors, right? So he was meek. He was meek. And yet you could not say he was weak. You know, he displayed strength on a number of occasions, but he was very meek. In Matthew 19 and verse 14, Jesus here speaking again, he says, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I think that's just a good illustration of the Lord's meekness. You know, he was not above ministering to children, and he would take time for them. He was not too busy in all of his ministry responsibilities to spend time with the children. And you think about that. You think about what we sung tonight. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Now I would be as thou art, give me an obedient heart. Thou art pitiful and kind, let me have thy loving mind. And so we can seek to follow the Lord's example of meekness and just think about him spending time with those little children. I think that's a good illustration of his meekness. Later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says he's seeking to emulate the meekness of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." You know, what he's saying there is when he shows up, when he walks in the door, you know, he's not going to be the big apostle and throw his weight around. No, he's going to be meek and gentle with them. And his letters maybe are a little stronger even than he will be in person. That's kind of what he's saying there. And so he's appealing to the Corinthians. He says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He's following the example of Christ. Now, true meekness is a rare quality. It's something that we all have to work at. It doesn't come naturally to us. And that's where we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And thank the Lord that meekness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in us that will produce this fruit. And our job is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work and allow him to develop that fruit in us and for us to cultivate that fruit and to then display it in our lives. So our theme tonight is this: those who walk by the Spirit will bear the Spirit's fruit of meekness, of meekness. And this evening I want to talk about the rewards of meekness and the necessity of meekness. And we're going to do this kind of quickly. There's going to be several rewards I mentioned and several situations where meekness is really required. So first, the rewards of meekness. First of all, one reward is God himself will be merciful toward us. Divine mercy is a reward of our meekness. Zephaniah 2:3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." So God is going to show mercy toward those who are meek. When he is judging, say, a nation, or perhaps even the world, he's going to show mercy toward the meek. Second reward of meekness would be divine help. So we have divine mercy and divine help. Psalm 147 and verse 6, "The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." It's kind of interesting that in that verse, there's a contrast between the meek and the wicked. So, you know, you think about it this way. The righteous, as you would think about it in the Old Testament sense, the righteous people of God are going to be meek. It's the wicked who lack meekness, who are proud. So we have divine mercy, divine help. Third reward of meekness, joy. Isaiah 29, verse 19. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." So God is the one who intervenes in the affairs of mankind and changes the outcome. You know, people would naturally think that somebody who's meek and is not assertive is not going to get very far. But God is the one who rewards those who are meek and grants joy to them. True joy is the experience of the meek. And related to that, fourth reward of meekness, contentment. Psalm 22, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Now, of course, it's the Lord who provides that reward of, you know, giving us food to eat and so forth, and that's why we bow our heads at every meal and we give thanks to the Lord. He's provided that. But there's an additional benefit mentioned in that psalm. Not only will we eat, but we'll be satisfied. There'll be enough. We'll have enough. There will be contentment with what the Lord has given to us. And so that is a reward of meekness. And then the fifth reward in my list is kingdom blessings. I'm trying to describe something that's pretty grand here. In Psalm 37, verse 11, in that psalm, the messianic king is in contrast to the wicked. All right, so here's what it says. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, there's something familiar to us. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And then you think of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, what Jesus is really saying there is the meek, the ones who are meek are really the ones who are in the kingdom. And it kind of works both ways. If you're in the kingdom, you're a child of God, you're going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have this fruit of meekness in your life. In fact, I would go so far as to say that without meekness, really, no one can come to true saving faith, because we must humble ourselves before God. We must have a meek posture before him. And so once we're in the kingdom, of course, we're going to enjoy all the kingdom blessings that are to come. And indeed, the meek shall inherit the earth. So these five rewards of meekness, these are verses that I found that speak of meekness and speak in terms of the rewards that come with meekness. And so to review again, divine mercy, divine help, joy, contentment, and kingdom blessings. Now, I'd like to go on and talk about the necessity of meekness. And in my search, I've found that Scripture mentions seven dimensions of the Christian life in which meekness is necessary. And I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but these are instances which are specifically mentioned in the Scriptures. Now, I did cover this list in more detail some years ago in a series I preached through Colossians 12 through 15. The series was called Putting on the New. And in that series, I went into more detail than I have time to go into tonight. So you're welcome to go back and maybe listen to that. That was preached, if you want to jot this down, on November 30th, 2016. And you can request a copy of that. So I'm going to just go through this list, this list with seven situations in which meekness is necessary. Number one, meekness is necessary in our growth. And our growth, of course, is produced by the milk of the Word. Okay? James 1:21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. And so it takes meekness to really truly receive the instruction that we get from God's Word. Without meekness, we're going to resist it. We're going to be proud. We're not going to be teachable concerning what God's Word is saying. But if we're meek, we're going to have our arms open and welcome what God's Word is saying to us. So meekness is necessary in our growth. Number two, meekness is necessary in our walk. Now, I already read Ephesians 4:1-3, and that's where we find this concept. Again, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy of your calling as a Christian. All right? And then it says, with all lowliness and meekness. So for us to walk worthy of our calling, we need meekness. And I think there's practical ways in which this comes out. You know, sometimes we're walking along and we need to change the direction we're heading. And so if we're proud, we're going to say, no, I'm going to keep going in the direction that I'm heading. But if we're meek, we're going to respond to God's redirection in our lives. So if we're going to walk worthy of our calling, we need to have meekness so that we can allow God to direct our steps. Third area where we need meekness. Meekness is necessary in our service. In our service. Titus chapter 3. And in this context, I think at this point in the passage, he's addressing all Christians at this point. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness, showing all meekness, it says, unto all men. And so the emphasis in this passage seems to be how we relate to authorities primarily, but certainly to all men. It generalizes there. And so in our interactions with other people and as we're serving others and serving the Lord, we need to show all meekness, show all meekness. So we need meekness in our service. Number four, fourth area, we need meekness in our witness. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And so we need to have this attitude of meekness as we're witnessing. You know, we don't take our Bibles and use them as a weapon like a hammer and hit people over the head with it, do we? No, we want to share the gospel in love. And meekness is an important element in this. You know, we have to recognize we were once where they are. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth in love. And so we need meekness in our witness. Fifth area, meekness is necessary in our exhortation, when we're exhorting others. And I already read again 2 Corinthians 10, 1, where Paul says he's beseeching, you know, he's exhorting, imploring, if you will, the believers in Corinth, he says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So here's an example of Paul showing meekness as he's exhorting others. So meekness is necessary in our exhortation. And closely related to that, meekness is necessary in our admonitions. You know, when we're having to correct someone, admonish someone. 2 Timothy 2. This is a very good passage. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25. And I want to say this should not be limited just to those who are in ministry, you know, just to those who are pastors, but really to anyone. I would certainly apply this, say, to parents, Christian parents who are having to admonish their children. So it could be applied in a number of contexts. But in terms of our admonition, 2 Timothy 2, 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So this is describing a pretty serious situation where someone is needing to be admonished, and they're so far into whatever their sin is that they're like under the influence of the devil here. And yet even in a serious situation like that, we approach it with meekness. Meekness in our admonitions. And then finally, meekness is necessary in our care for a fallen brother. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so here we are helping to restore our fallen brother, get them back on their feet, get them back into fellowship, get them back into harmony with God's word, and back into a close union with the Lord. And we do all this in a spirit of meekness, realizing that we too fall, and we too have to recover from a fall and get restored as well. So seven areas that the scriptures specifically associate meekness with: certain situations, certain circumstances, and we can certainly work on all of these, and these are cases where we need meekness. So those who walk by the fruit of the Spirit will bear the Spirit's fruit of meekness. The Holy Spirit will produce this fruit in us, and our job is to cooperate with Him and cultivate that fruit, you know, to allow Him to work on us and shape us and to cause us to become meek people. Our Old Testament example of meekness is Moses the leader. Our New Testament example of meekness is Jesus the Lord, a leader and the Lord, our people who were meek. One Christian writer once asked a horse trainer about the qualities of a meek horse. The horse trainer replied, quote, "Once broken, a good horse doesn't require much correction. He learns to accept the reins of his master, and a gentle tug is all that is needed to urge him one direction or the other," end quote. A meek horse, but a very apt description of meekness in general. May this description befit us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time of considering the topic of meekness. We thank you for the instruction that we find in your word concerning meekness. We do thank you, Lord, that this is a fruit of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will work to produce this in us. We know that it would not come naturally to us, and so this is a supernatural work. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll help us to grow in our meekness. Individually help us to grow in our meekness, that we might be more Christ-like, that we might be a meek people and useful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.